Track 13, Celebrity Spotlight. Let's hear now about one of the greatest ladies of 20th century music. Here's Sam to tell us about the life and career of the First Lady of Song, none other than Ella Fitzgerald.
Stars shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me.
The First Lady of Song, Ella Jane Fitzgerald, was born to African and European parents in the southern state of Virginia in the USA in 1917. She was noted for her purity of tone, impeccable diction, phrasing, timing, intonation, and a horn-like improvisational ability, particularly in her scat singing.
A tisket, a tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I send a letter to my mommy on the way. I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it. A little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue.
Her rendition of the nursery rhyme, A Tisket, A Tasket, helped boost both her and the Chick Webb Orchestra to national fame. Now, after taking over the band when Chick died, Fitzgerald left it behind in 1942 to start her solo career. Her manager was Mo Gale, co-founder of the Savoy, until she turned the rest of her career over to Norman Granz, who founded Verve Records, to produce new records by Fitzgerald. With Verve, she recorded some of her more widely noted works, particularly her interpretations of the Great American Songbook. Now, her early life was outlined by hardship and poverty. Her mother died when she was 15, and she moved to the Bronx in New York with her aunt. As a student, she excelled at most subjects, but the sudden change in circumstances and possible family abuse led to Ella falling in with a different crowd from the African Methodist Episcopal Church, where she had begun to find her voice. This new crowd saw her working as a lookout in a bordello and becoming involved with backstreet gambling, known as numbers, and run by the mafia. So when the authorities caught up with her, she was moved to an orphanage in the Bronx, then to a state reformatory school for girls. At the age of 17, she appeared on the stage of the now famous Apollo Theatre in Harlem. Singing in the style of her hero, Connie Boswell, Ella won first prize, a chance to sing at the Apollo for a week. It is said that the theatre reneged on this part of the prize because of her dishevelled appearance. Well, we can only assume she wore the rags of the streets of Poverty Row. How many of the celebrities we have featured started life this way? Hardship forging a path to fame. And oh, how's this for unlucky in love? Her first husband was a convicted drug dealer and dockyard labourer, and the marriage was annulled in 1942. In 1947, she married Dizzy Gillespie's bass player, Ray Brown, and they adopted Ella's half-sister's son, keep up, but because of their work commitments, young Ray Brown Jr. was brought up by Ella's aunt, as Ella herself had been. And then Ray and Ella divorced due to work pressures, but continued to tour together. Her third marriage, which was carried out in secret, if at all, well, I told you this was a story and a half, was in 1957 to a young Norwegian. And guess what? He turned out to be wanted by the police for theft from his former girlfriend. Poor Ella. And despite all this heartache, Her songs are full of light, her voice pure and happy, and unlike contemporaries such as Billie Holiday, her material never betrays a hint of sadness. She recorded for the major labels, Decca, Capitol and Verve. It is with Decca that she and Louis Armstrong recorded three incredible albums. Accompanied by the Oscar Peterson Quartet, 1956's Ella and Louis and 1957's Ella and Louis Again would include the standards or classic songs of the genre, such as Cheek to Cheek, Stars Fell on Alabama, and Can't We Be Friends?
We lived our little drama. We kissed in a field of white, and stars fell on Alabama last night. The glamour, your eyes held a tender light, and stars. I thought I'd found the man of my dreams. Now it seems this is how the story ends. He's going to turn me down and say, can't we be friends?
A third album featured music from the George and Ira Gershwin opera Porgy and Bess, with Lewis on the trumpet, and features this heart-melting version of Summertime.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich, and your ma is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't
And as we heard last month with Paul Robeson, no matter how talented you are, discrimination was never far away. Now, Fitzgerald was a civil rights activist, using her talent to break racial barriers across the nation. She was awarded the National Association for the Advancement of Coloured People's Equal Justice Award. In 1949, Norman Granz recruited Fitzgerald for the Jazz at the Philharmonic tour. Now, this tour would specifically target segregated venues. Granz required promoters to ensure that there was no coloured or white seating, and he ensured Fitzgerald was to receive equal pay and accommodations, regardless of her sex and race. And if the conditions were not met, shows were cancelled. In 1954, on her way to one of her concerts in Australia, she was unable to board the Pan American flight due to racial discrimination. And although she faced several obstacles and racial barriers, she was recognised as a cultural ambassador, receiving the National Medal of Arts in 1987 and America's highest non-military honour, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 1958, Fitzgerald became the first African-American woman to win at the inaugural Grammy Awards. Well, that's the Recording Academy of the United States Awards. Ella would go on to win 13 of these prestigious awards, plus in 1967, the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. She made a famous commercial for Memorex tape cassettes in which she is recorded hitting a high note which smashes a glass. And the tape is played back and smashes another.
Can the amplified voice of Ella Fitzgerald shatter this glass? Believe it. Ella Fitzgerald on Memorex cassette tape with MRX2 oxide. Can Memorex shatter the glass? Now we ask, is it live or is it Memorex?
Now, poor health mixed with diabetes led to Ella's withdrawal from performing in the 1980s. Although she performed in 1990 at the Royal Albert Hall with the Count Basie Orchestra for the launch of the Jazz FM radio station. Some 6 years later, complications with her diabetes led to a stroke and her subsequent death at the age of 79. Miss Ella Fitzgerald, a first lady of song, a blues and jazz legend who kept spirits as high as the highest notes.
When you're near, there's such an air of spring about it. To minor every time we say goodbye.
Thank you, Sam. And it's always good to hear that voice, isn't it?